far.
That's going to get it done. Look at this baby. High, far, deep, gone. A three-run shot by Cal Raleigh.
Julio with the skyscraping blast out to the video board in left field. Gone home run number 22 for Julio.
Welcome back to the Swing Podcast. I'm your host, Jack Powers. We have a lot to get into surrounding the MLB rule changes going into next season. And first off, we're going to get into the recap and then we'll do that. We have the Braves coming up to Seattle for the first time since 2014. Charlie Morton was taking the mound for the Braves, the 38-year-old righty. 175 strikeouts this year, over 146 innings pitched for the man. 7-5 with a 4.01 ERA, and in his last start against Miami, he went 5.2, four hits, and only one earned run. And then for the Mariners, Robbie Ray taking the mound, 12-8, 3.45 ERA. He has won his last four starts, and this game was broadcasted on Apple TV, so not everybody was able to view it. So if you missed those highlight calls, you can listen to them here today. Anyways, the lineup going into the Braves game. For the Mariners, we had Julio, of course, at number one, Ty at two, three, Mitch, four, Suarez, 5, Winker, 6, Haniger was, Santana was the DH today, 7 was Frazier, 8 big dumper Cal Raleigh, and number 9, J.P. Crawford. So my question going into this game was, you know, this lineup on paper is all the big name guys, but I don't really care about that. I don't care what their name is. Why are we not playing Sammy Hags? Why are we not playing Haggerty, man? He's one of our best players. He's the only player on the Mariners with an OPS of 800 or more, just barely scratching that surface with Julio, of course. You can put him in left field for Winker and have Winker DH and then Santana just not play, or just have Winker not play because his offense is terrible other than drawing walks. And I mean, yeah, that's great. You can get on base, but man, hit the ball, please, for your life. So I don't know. I feel like Haggerty is a better player as of now. At least what he's been doing when he's at the plate. Maybe he's just a clutch player. Maybe we're all wrong. But based off what, you know, he's been doing, why are we not playing him? It's simple as that. Just put him in left field. He can play anywhere. But I was kind of wrong. Maybe we do need Santana in the lineup because he was doing some good stuff tonight that we will get into. So that's really going to prove me wrong. And that's why I'm not going to go into it as much as I am or more. Anyways. Going into the top of the first, Robbie Ray was looking like garbage from the start. Top of the first, right off the bat, there was a leadoff single by Acuna. That was kind of a pop out, got in between the infielders and the outfielders. And then Dansby Swanson came up, and he hit a two-run bomb to center field. It would be his 19th home run of the year. It was 419 feet, and that would give Atlanta an early 2-0 lead. And he had a very tough start after that whole first inning. He only went one, or he did go that inning. He had three hits, two runs, two earned, three strikeouts, but he went 26 pitches, which was a little worrisome. Anyways, right off the bat, bottom of the second, inning and a half later, Carlos Santana bounces back.
Scott Service heaps praise on Santana. Santana turns on one to right field. That one is long gone. Oh, goodness!
And he brings leadership and big-time homers to tie the ball game up.
I think 380 sells that thing short. Went off the facade of the suites. Regardless, we are tied 2-2.
That home run would be his ninth on the season with the Mariners. It was a 380-foot bomb the right field off the upper deck windows. Just below the Hit It Here Cafe area. I don't know how true this is, but the Apple TV broadcaster was saying, Hunter Renfro was saying, I talked to Carlos Santana before the game, and he was telling me, he's gonna hit a home run. He said it, but I didn't want to say it because I didn't want to jinx it. Well, was Carlos Santana calling his shot? I mean, he hit a home run right there, tying up the game 2-2 for the Mariners, and that the other run came from Winker being walked with one out right before him. So Winker walk adds some value to the Mariners right there. Anyways, then we go to the top of the fourth. Robbie Ray still pitching. He has a man on third and first. RBI single by Robbie Grossman brings in Michael Harris. Makes it 3-2 Atlanta. Then in the fourth, Travis Dennard, solo home run, 17th of the year to right center field, 4-2 Atlanta. So, you know, these little things started adding up against the Mariners pretty much the entire game. And then in the bottom of the fifth, JP does something so abnormal for him. Give it a listen.
Crawford ripped to right field and out of here. It's now 4-3, back to a one-run game.
That would be J.P. Crawford's sixth home run with the Mariners on the season, and he hit that bomb off a hanging curveball from Charlie Morton. Way to take advantage of it. 4-3 Atlanta still, though. Robbie Ray then, after the fifth inning, gets relieved by Matt Festa. Robbie Ray today went 5 innings, 4 runs, 4 earned, 0 walks, 6 strikeouts, and he gave up 2 home runs. But Matt Festa did not do the Los Bomberos job whatsoever. He did not put out any fire, and he actually caused a fire. He was burning down the entire T-Mobile Park, for all I care. He came in, gives up a home run to Michael Harris, then he gives up a home run to Robbie Grossman. That'd be 2 home runs in 1 inning, makes it 6-3 Atlanta, and pretty much that would be all Atlanta would need. But then in the bottom of the seventh, Carlos Santana tries to, you know, break into that lead that Atlanta was holding by 3 runs with a solo shot. Again, it'd be a second of the game. I might as well let you guys listen to it, because why not? 2 home runs in 1 game. Good job, Carlos Santana.
Charlie Morton's first pitch to Santana in the bottom of the seventh. To the wall and gone!
Did you say homers?
There's another one for Carlos Santana. His second of the game, and it's 6-4.
So that home run by Carlos Santana would not be enough. It made it 6-4 Atlanta. So still a 2-run deficit. In the bottom of the ninth, they couldn't have done. They had a chance in the bottom of the seventh, and they did not take advantage of it. Ty France struck out on 3 pitches with 2 outs, runners on first and second. Whatever. Couldn't score. Not enough. Nobody else wanted to try and chip into that lead that Atlanta was holding. Anyways, Atlanta would win. They won their 8th straight game. They now take the lead in the National League East over the Mets. Wouldn't you believe that, huh? I think Atlanta is legit. And if anybody's telling you they're not legit, they're not watching baseball, man. Mets are good, but Atlanta's just doing better. Mets haven't even played bad, and they took the lead. It's insane what Atlanta's doing right now. They're a good team. I think they could be in the World Series. It's going to be Dodgers, them, or the Mets. That's my opinion. I'm going to have it. But you know what? I would not be surprised if Braves go and sweep us. They're a damn good team. Anyways, Charlie Morton gets the win. Robbie Ray gets the loss. The Mariners now fall to the last wild card spot. They hold the 3rd wild card spot. They're a half game back on Toronto from the 2nd, a game back on the 1st, I believe, from Tampa Bay. They've now lost 2 straight, but they still have a 4-game buffer between Baltimore, and their playoff chances remain around 99.4.5%. So not really too much to worry about. But in my head, of course, in all Mariners' heads, we're going to start freaking out, because we need to beat these teams. We do. We just lost the series to the White Sox, and they suck. They can't play defense, but we showed them we could play worse defense. We play down to our opponents every game, and it makes me so upset. We showed up for Cleveland, the only game we had to show up for. All I cared about this whole home series, beat the White Sox. It's okay if you lose to the Braves, whatever, and then beat the Padres. Well, you know what? We can't do anything against good teams because we play down to the good opponents and then, you know, make ourselves look terrible in front of everybody. Before I lose my mind, I'm just going to go into the rule changes for 2023 and what to expect there for all the people who haven't seen it yet. I'm sure you've heard about it. I'm going to dive into it a little bit. There's 3 main points that MLB is trying to do next year to limit the amount of time games are going to take and, you know, just speed things up, you know. Anyways, number 1, the pitch clock. When the bases are empty, the pitcher has 15 seconds to start his throwing motion. with runners on, either if that means he's on first, second, third, wherever a player may be on base, 20 seconds, he gets a throw. If a hitter is at bat, he only gets to use one timeout during that bat. He can only call time to step out of the box one time per plate appearance. So he could do it four times if you bat four times, whatever, you know? Anyways, it has proven that it works, and I believe in this. Games have been reduced by 26 minutes on average, they say. Minor league games are now around 2.5 hours of length of time. And I think that's perfect. I think that's how you engage an audience. I think that's how you keep it from being one of those 4 hour, 3 hour, 3.5 hour things where you take your entire day to watch a baseball game. Like, yeah, we can sit and watch basketball games and football for like 2.5 hours, 3 hours. But when we're going 3.5, 4, it's like, geez, man, like, what are we doing? We're taking a minute per pitch. Now we won't have to deal with Diego Castillo sitting there messing with his necklace before every pitch. That just makes me frustrated. I'm like, dude, throw the ball. But anyways, I think this is beneficial. Next year, we're going to have larger bases. So it's an increase from a 15-inch base to an 18-inch, so 18 by 18. It's for player safety. It's been proven. There's not much I can say about it. It is what it is. I don't know really how that affects, like, you know, all the other stat stuff, but you know, who really cares? If it makes Ty France not get injured because people are running into his ankle and kicking it and breaking it and crap, and then I'm all for it. I don't want to see anybody get hurt. I don't want to see my own players get hurt. So leave it there. You should not complain about that. Anyways, last thing that's, I think, the most frustrating part is the shift restriction. Two infielders now have to be on each side of second base. And they both have to have their feet on the dirt. So we can't have guys in the outfield. You can't have guys, you know, just all over the place. Three guys on one side of second base, all that stuff. Now, there's different ways you can look at it. I think that some people agree with the shift. Some people don't. I think you should have kept the shift until hitters started working with it. Because there are so many times you're watching the game, you're like, wow, nobody's even down the third baseline. Nobody's over there. Bump the ball. Get on base. That's all I want. I want to win. Players aren't like that. Players will never play like that. I promise you that. No matter what. Unless they're a player that just knows that's all they can do. Or you get a Sam Haggerty on your team who does not care, and he's a team guy. That's what I'm saying. Anyways, I mean, I don't know why they took it away. It's whatever. People didn't like it. Anyways, this was agreed on by the league's competition committee. It wasn't a unanimous vote, like people may say. It involved six ownership level representatives. John Stanton, the Seattle's owner, was one of those six. Four players, I don't remember who they were, but some did vote no on the pitch clock / the shift changes. And there was one umpire on this vote. So the pitch clock, I want to talk about it more. Just there's other stuff more than just the pitcher. The catcher, he has to be in position to catch the ball at 10 seconds, not 15 or 20 like everybody else. 10 seconds, you better be ready. The hitter, both feet must be in the box at 8 seconds. 8 seconds, you better be in that box, hitters. That's all I'm going to say. The pitcher must start the pitching motion by the expiration of the clock. So by 15, 20, whatever you may be at with runners on, runners off, you better be starting your motion. A violation by the pitcher results in a ball. A violation in the hitter results in a strike. So not big difference, but you know, it matters at the end of the day. Pickoffs and step offs. This is also important. So if you throw a pickoff to first or you step off the mound, it resets the pitch clock. However, you only get two of those per plate appearances. So if Sam Haggerty's on first and he's about to steal, the pitcher can only try and pick him off twice. After that, it's a little dangerous because you do get a third, however. But if you're unsuccessful, which most of the time on pickoffs you are, it's more of just a scare tactic. If you're not, you know, if you can't get him by the third, it's considered unsuccessful. And that means it is a balk. So that's an automatic moving the runner up. So I kind of like it, though, because pickoffs are, I hate them. I mean, they're boring. I understand them, but who cares? Like, it's kind of like a waste of time. Anyways, and then involving mound visits. This is also kind of important. So managers right now get 5 mound visits per game. If you're out of your mound visits, you get an extra one in the ninth. If you haven't used all 5, you don't get an extra, you don't get an add-on, whatever. My opinion, Mound visits are stupid. Why even have them? You get 30 seconds to go out there from the time the manager leaves the bullpen. I'm sorry, not the bullpen, the dugout. So I don't know. I just don't see the point. Like, you can communicate your pitches and everything, your lineups, your shift changes, everything from the dugout. So what's the point of walking out there if the guy's doing terrible? You might as well just walk out there and take him out, because it's just boring. You come out, you say, hey, you know what? You're doing okay, man. Like, it's okay. Just calm down. Come on. You can tell, the catcher can walk up to him and say, hey, calm down. I don't need a manager coming out and doing whatever he's trying to say. You know, managers ain't doing anything. They just come out and go, all right, guys, calm down. Everything's going to be okay. We got this. Just, you know, let's look in this setup. You can do your little finger calls, and the catcher has the buttons on his catching glove to call pitch. Like, you can do all that. You don't need to walk out there. It's a waste of time. You might as well just go take out the pitcher. Anyways, end of my spiel. Thanks for listening to the Swing Pod. Tough Mariners loss. I know it is. They need to get the win with George Kirby. We'll see how that goes. That's all I have for you today. So come back tomorrow. Hopefully the Mariners will actually win a game and not lose anymore against good teams. Thanks for watching the Swing Pod.